I want to just follow on the thought that many times you and I are called as individuals before anyone else has stood. And I can't think of better examples. Number one, of Daniel. Now remember when Daniel purposed in his heart, we don't read of his friends. It was those three friends that were watching Daniel. They were not identified with him. Daniel purposed in his heart, and then others were watching them. You know, I say to you when you go home, others are watching what you're going to do. Always remember that. Tony mentioned yesterday Elijah. We know that there was the thought in his heart that he was the only one. I'm not going to dwell on that, okay? But I'm going to dwell upon the fact that there was one man standing in the presence of the king that could say to him, he was unknown. Elijah wasn't known by anybody. There's very little in the scripture about where he came from, what he did. But he stood in the presence of that king, and he declared unto him, there is going to be no rain. He stood there as an individual. Later, we remember that God used him to bring about at least some recovery in that day. Follow again and read in the Word of God about the battle where David was. And you go to scripture, and what do you find? You find the armies of Israel, and they're sitting there. Nobody's doing anything. And you hear the man of God that says, and I want to say the man of God that is depending upon God. Is there not a cause? As I go home, I hope that I can see that. That there is a cause for me. In the school that I'm going into, in the local assembly that I'm part of, as a brother, as a sister, I ask myself, is there not a cause? And we find that David steps up as one man before the giant. We were reminded yesterday, death came in and he used the giant's sword to end his life. Don't forget, he took 5 stones. There were others that were there, you see. So we just want to remember these things, that I am looking at it as an individual. But God is looking, who are those that are going to be affected by what I'm doing? I'm sorry, that's my phone. We'll let it go. We'll catch it in a minute. I can't turn it off. I'm not allowed to.
But you're allowed. He's not allowed, but you're allowed.
This seems to be a peculiar test that God puts the people through. And I've wondered at this for years, and I'm reminded of a verse, and someone can help me if I'm wrong, but let me just read the verse that was before. So he brought down the people under the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, Everyone that lappeth the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. And I was reminded of the words of Mephibosheth to David, Second Samuel 9, he says, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? And I think the first test we have of man boasting in himself, and those that were fearful. And I believe in the second, we have those that have an appreciation of grace, that they're lame in their feet, as Mephibosheth was, and they recognize that they cannot take one step unless the grace of God comes in on their behalf. So perhaps that's the thought with those that drink in such a fashion.
Also introduce that it's the Word of God that is the test. You see, this is what water is, isn't it? It is the Word of God. And so they're going to be tested for the battle in how? In their appreciation with the Word of God. I just want to stop and think again. How must Gideon have felt? Put yourself in his shoes. Use your imagination again and think, now I'm standing here. That multitude over there hasn't changed. It's still there. There's still grasshoppers in multitude. The camels are everywhere. We know the battle is going to be. And I'm now standing here with my 10,000 men or so. And then I began to go. And so Gideon gets the instruction exactly as to how they're to be tested. He doesn't say, Gideon, you're going to choose. He says, Gideon, I'm going to choose. I'm going to set up how these men are going to be. And I think when the battle is all over, Gideon sees, well, there's still a pretty good sized company here. I've only lost 300. Do you think he might have thought that? I've only lost 300 men. I've still got almost 10,000 men. And the Lord comes back and he says, Gideon, send those men home. Send them home. Which company would you be a part of? Here were men whose eyes were always on the circumstances around them. They brought the water up. You understand? They weren't forgetting where they were. They were sensitive as to what was before them. And the Spirit of God picks those 300 men up. Do you know what he calls them later? He calls them the host. Can you imagine that? 300 men are called. The host will come to that. So here's Gideon and these, the word, I will try them for thee. This shall go with thee, if I say that. The same shall go with thee. Whatsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with me. The same shall not go. Is that my thought about the word of God? Am I subject to the word in that way? That what God says, I take and I run with it. And when I don't, when he hasn't expressed, I wait.
I would like to suggest from these two lessons something that is very practical. And you have to take it in. The first thing these people have probably ignored is the word of God. Because it's always God who said, fear not. And dear young ones, one of the best strengthening power that we have, not only the Spirit of God, but really the Word of God itself, that you and I, we have to get into the Scriptures, to get the help, the support, the strength, the power that we need to be able to face every day. But there was a second test. Now, two-thirds. And you know what? If you applied it to the statistics of our day, you might be very close. Two-thirds of the Christians barely read the Scripture. They barely enter into what God is saying to me. Christianity is built mostly on two aspects. What God is telling me. So he says, fear not. Well, two-thirds were afraid. The second test, the secret behind it, Chuck, that the Word of God taking it in will teach me another lesson. And that's the thought of watchfulness. God has his eyes upon those that were watching. That were, like you have said, they are watching what's surrounding. They are trying to watch how the enemy might creep in. And you know what the Scripture tells us about watchfulness? How do you do it? How do you do the watchfulness? So how the Word of God goes in through my hand, that's the Word of God. And it's teaching me watchfulness is through prayer. The Lord Jesus uses in the Luke chapter 23, it says, watch and do what with it? And pray. And young believer, there are some older brothers here with you, and we can all testify to the same thing. Unless I understand that God has given me resources to allow him to speak to me and to allow me to speak to him, and as this line of communication is open, then it will generate in me the spirit of watchfulness to make sure that when I go back home now, that I'm going to watch his devices and his these arrows that the enemy is going to throw my way. And the reason I'm going to resist them, because now I'm learning how to be watchful. So these are the two tests that two-thirds or three-thirds or the majority of the company failed by.
Just let me add this other thought. The end of verse 7, verse 6. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. Those that bent and lapped in the water, Brother Chuck and Brother John have indicated the watchfulness and the fact that they had their eyes on the conditions around them. But those that went down to their knees were not in a position of readiness. And so for those of us that are going to be engaged in battle for the Lord, We have to watch, we have to pray, and we have to be ready. And so the other group that is going to be left out now is that God is looking for hearts that are ready to engage in the battle. In Christianity today, as Brother John has pointed out, a large percentage of the Christian company are satisfied with being observers. You go to a football game, there's a certain amount of players on the field, and there's 80,000 people in the stands. You go to a basketball game, 10 people on the court, 20,000 people watching them. You go and you look around in Christendom today, you have mega churches where there may be a small amount of individuals that are active, and you have thousands that are simply watching. And now when you come to where we are in the assemblies that we identify with, in your local assembly, in mine, there's the few that are bearing the burden. And what about you and what about me? Are we actively engaged, ready to help, ready to defend, or are we sitting on the sidelines, happy with just a small company being used of God? So this separated those who would be ready in battle and those who were ready, those who were not ready to take up the battle for God.